Let us all say amen. And want to thank Brother Smith for leading us in that hymn on this evening, this afternoon. I know that my Redeemer lives. And I want to thank the brothers that have gone before me, that have offered prayers on behalf of others and behalf of this worship on this afternoon. The one that led scripture reading and also that led us in our communion and offering. All those brothers that have participated thus far in our worship service. I want to thank you for your presence on this afternoon to hear another portion of God's word. And those that are with us that may not be members of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that you are VIPs. Want you to know some foundational things in the Bible, and then we'll look at our lesson on this afternoon. Want you to know from Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, where Jeremiah writes that he knew that the way of man was not in himself. It was not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. He knew that he could not lead himself spiritually, but Jesus let us know where that place can be found, where spiritual guidance can be offered. When he, on his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 33, said, "Beseech ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And he said, "And all these things shall be added unto you." And then Jesus identified for Nicodemus in John chapter 3, in verse number 3, how one can enter into the kingdom of God when he said, "Verily, verily," John 3:3, "I say unto you, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot even see the kingdom of God." And we know that that kingdom, what we're all seeking for, can be found, is called the church. In Acts 2:47. The Bible said they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we know if you're on the call this afternoon that you can become a member of the Lord's body by simply obeying the things that we find in the scripture that I will share with as we get to the close of this message. But I want to look at some things as when we look at this closing of the letter that the Apostle John writes to the Christian, there were some things that Christians should know for themselves. Now, we sung the song, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." So when John wrote this letter, if you go with me back to 1 John chapter 1, I just want us to see in verse number 1 of 1 John chapter 1, because John had written to those that were Christians. Note what he says, "That which from the beginning," talking about Christ, "which we have heard," they have heard Christ speak, "which we have seen with our eyes," they had also seen Christ, "which we have looked upon," they had looked, gazed upon Christ. And he said also, "and our hands have handled," they touch Christ, "of the word of life." But we know for us today, those of us that are Christian, we know that our Redeemer lives by reading the scriptures, and by faith, we can see our Lord through faith and through the words of God. So as John was writing to them, John was writing to those that had seen and had touched Christ. John called him the word of life. But we know that John also wrote to us when he wrote the Gospel of John. In John chapter 20, and the verse is number 31, when he said, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So I think the song that was sung was appropriate for the message this afternoon, because we're speaking from the subject, and we know that we are of God. And so John wanted them to know some things, and we need to know that our Redeemer lives, and if we do those things that John talks about in his closing of his letter, some things that he wanted them to know that we also should know that are Christians, members of the Church of Christ, some things that we should know. Note in 1 John chapter 5, and we're picking up where we left off at verse number 13, where John said, "These things have I written unto you, that you believe that, unto you that believe, excuse me, on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." The Christian should live with the hope that they have eternal life. One day, we're going to have to get out of these bodies, this vessel, as Paul called it in his Corinthian letter. We're going to have to get out of this vessel. And we need to live with the hope that we have eternal life. And John said, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." John said, "And this confidence that we have in the promise of eternal life allows us to ask anything according to his will, and God will hear us." God's will for us is only that which is for our good. That's God's will. Note that when we ask of God, in Matthew chapter 7, and the verse is number 11, Matthew 7, Jesus, in talking to those in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in verse 11 of Matthew 7, "If you then," talking to them, "being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Yeah, Jesus wanted them to know that if you are earthly parents and you being evil, as Jesus identified, know how to give good gifts to your children, then Jesus said, how much more shall our Heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him, those that are privileged, those that have the relationship with the Lord to ask him. We can ask him those things. And so John said in verse 15 of 1 John 5, "And if we know that he hear us," John says, "if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know," notice now, "we know that we have the petition that we desire of him." And John said, the petition means a request. John said, "If we know then that he hear us, and whatsoever we ask, we know then that we have petitions that we desire are offered to him." Now, understand this about God. God sometimes says yes by saying no. God sometimes says yes by saying no. He may answer a prayer for our good by denying the request made by the Christian. So simply because we ask God of something and we know that God hears us does not mean that God, again, whatever God gives us is for our good. God can sometimes withhold things from us if it is not for our good. An example will be Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible enumerates how many times Paul went to the Lord, and he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verses number 8, Paul said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times, that it might depart from me." And the Lord's response to Paul, he said unto me, Paul said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So Paul responds then after the Lord spoke to him. He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities or weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And that's why Christians, Paul said, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, when I have necessities, when I'm under persecution, when I'm in distress." He said, "And I do it for Christ's sake." He said, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." And I want to say to the Christian and to myself also that life deals us sometimes where we have, it seems like it attacks our weaknesses. It puts us in a state of need. We are being persecuted. Paul told the church that if you're going to live godly, you shall suffer persecution. Also, we are stressed sometimes. Paul talks about the stresses that he in. I want to just encourage us that we are going through stuff. Paul said in that same letter, his second letter, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 8, Paul said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forgotten, forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." Paul said, "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." So Paul knew. John writes about the things that the Christian may go through, but we have prayer as an avenue that we can ask the Lord of those things that we desire. And as John closes this letter, he wanted them to know that we have the avenue. We can offer petitions to the Lord on our behalf. We can, as others have done today, this morning, offer intercessory prayers on behalf of others, prayers on behalf of those that are experiencing illnesses and sicknesses and going through trials and tribulations. We can pray for them. So John wanted them to know as he closed this first letter that prayer is something that the Christian has that we can ask of God. And not only that, John wanted them to know about the sin that's unto death. So in verse 16, he says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sinneth not unto death. He says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. So John now is dealing with sin. He said, John said, if I see a man, if he's standing in sin, and the sin is not unto death, John says, we shall ask, and he shall give him life for them of that sin that's not unto death. Then he says, there is a sin that's unto death, and this is a spiritual death, where the person is separated from God. And John said, that person, he said, I'm saying that he shall I do not say that he shall pray for it. Well, let's look at that, because John now is closing this letter. And sin is very important. I want us to focus on the final comments through the Holy Spirit that John writes to Christian. You can enumerate these. So John, as he's ending this letter, he tells them, I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord, or the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And knowing that you have eternal life, we know that we can ask anything according to his will and know that God hears us. But John also talks about sin, the person that's in sin. We know that the Lord will forgive every sin that a brother or sister confesses and turns away from. When I say brother and sister, I'm talking about someone that's a Christian, a member of the Lord's church. How do we know that? Because John wrote to them in the letter. And I did for myself on yesterday. I sat down and I made time in my schedule, and I simply read the entire letter that John wrote in his first letter to those Christians. First John, all five chapters, and as we look at it, remember, it's a continual letter. I think if my memory holds me correctly, it's about 105 verses. But again, John simply wrote one letter, and you can bless yourself by reading that letter in its entirety. Just sit down and take your time and read the letter. But John identified in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9, John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, Brother Brooks, excuse me, this morning did an excellent job on showing how Paul came clean when he identified the sinful acts, excuse me, in his life. He enumerated them when he talked to Festus and Agrippa, the king and the governor, about the sin in his life. And for all of us, we must, in order for us to be forgiven of sin, we must not only confess that sin, but we also must turn away from the sin and not just continue in the sin, but we must confess it, we must repent of it, and we must turn away from that sin. So when we talk about sin, excuse me, when we talk about sin, we know from John's writing that if we confess it, that God is Christ is faithful, and he'll forgive us of our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Secondly, John identified there is a sin which the Lord will not forgive. He says that in verse 16 when he says there is a sin unto death. That said, the sin that the Lord will not forgive is a sin, any sin, and all sin that a brother or sister will not confess. If you won't confess, you can't be forgiven of the sin. That's why John says there is a sin unto death. That sin that one does not confess and does not repent of, that is a sin unto death. And again, Brother Brooks did a marvelous job this morning, as when Paul stood before those of Roman authority, he confessed all the wrongs that he had done, how he had persecuted and had those Christians killed when he thought that they went against Judaism, until he was converted himself. And after he converted, he admitted those things that he had done. However, go back to verse 16. If a brother or sister shows no sorrow or regret for the wrong they have done, that's why John said it is useless to pray to God on their behalf. That's why John said there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. We are praying for a person who will not show sorrow or regret for the wrong that they have done. John said it is useless to pray for them on their behalf. Why? Because they haven't done their part. We have a part to play when we sin. Acts chapter 8, and the verse is number 22. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 22. These are instructions from the Lord, as Peter said to Simon when Simon had sinned. Peter told him in Acts 8:20, verse number 20, but Peter said unto him, thou money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Peter told him, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. In order for a person to receive repentance and forgiveness, you have to first get your heart right with God. And the way I get my heart right with God is admitting to the wrong that I have done and having godless sorrow. The Bible talks about, Paul talks about in the Corinthians. But notice what Peter said to him. Peter said, repent, verse 22. Therefore, of this thy wickedness, then he said, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. We must repent and confess when we do wrong. We must be willing to admit it. And that's why John now, as he closes, wanted the Christian to know, when we sin, we know we're going to sin. Because John said that in the first letter. He said, if we say that we have not sinned, 1 John 1:10, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we know we are going to sin. And when we sin, we have to be willing to admit the wrong, to confess our sin, and ask God for forgiveness. And then talk about sin. John said, verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. Again, John now noticed in 1 John, early in the letter, he talks about in 1 John 3:4, he talks about sin in the positive in defining. Then he talks about it in the negative. Notice now in 1 John 3, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Then in verse 17 of 1 John 5, he says, understand this, all unrighteousness is sin. Whenever we violate the law of God, that's sin. Whenever we are absent from righteousness, that is sin. So now, when we talk about sin, sin is doing that which is wrong. That is called, some people say it's commission, something you commit. Then sin can be by omission. That's failing to do that which is right, something that you omit. So we can sin by committing an act and by omitting an act. When it comes to the word of God, the commandments of God, that's why John made it so clear when he talked to those Christians, and I'm just kind of summarizing John's writing to those Christians, when he says, and hereby, 1 John 2:3, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So when we keep his commandments, that is right, but when we don't do his commandments, that is an error. We can do wrong or unrighteous either by commission or by omission. I can commit a sin, I cannot do something that God has commanded, and that's sin by omission. And then John says, as we find in Psalm letter, we'll go there now, but if you have time, make note, in the 119 division of Psalm, verse 172, the psalmist writer said, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Everything that God has commanded is righteous. And when we don't do what God commanded, that becomes unrighteousness. John said, we know. Now, I want you to note the times he says, we know. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And we discussed that when we discussed in 1 John 3 with John, the sinneth here means continual in sin. He said, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. So we want to know, according to 1 Corinthians 9, and the verse is number 27, that the responsibility of every Christian, and Paul even talked about himself as a preacher, and 1 Corinthians 9:29, we talk about the word keep means to not allow. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body. I won't allow my body to just do as it wants to do. I can suppress it. He said, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, Paul said, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, the word castaway means being rejected by God. So we know that, going back to our letters, we close, that in keeping myself I have to keep my body under subjection, that the wicked one, talking about the devil, can't touch me. And John says, and we know, and that's my title now, and we know that we are of God, or we know that we are from God, and the whole world lieth in wicked. You know, we live in a world now that just live in sin. This country have come out of the closet, and they're doing everything that their mind can conceive. John says, and we know, verse 20, that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. John said, this is the true God and eternal life. So John wants to close by saying, you have eternal life. And in what we call our last verse, verse 21, John said, little children, final thing, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. An idol is anything that becomes a god to us. And I want to say, as I close, anything becomes an idol when it takes the place of God in our hearts, whether it be a person, whether it be property, or whether it be a pleasure. Whenever you put something before God, when you put something to do before worshiping God, that becomes an idol. When I put a person, a family member, a loved one before my worshiping to God, that can become an idol. When I have things, my car, my home, my job, replaces me worshiping God, John said, little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. And so I hope that this letter that John wrote would do for you what it has done for me, because John, when he wrote this letter in 1 John 1:4, note he said, in these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And I want to let the Christian know and encourage us that joy does not have to be measured by your situation and circumstances, because God is the one that gives you joy. My joy comes from the Lord. When I think about my eternal salvation, that I can be forgiven of sin, that I'm in Christ, that brings me joy. And I know Christ, who they handled, who they touched, but I can touch Christ by faith from the Word of God. I can see Christ by faith from the Word of God. And if you're not a Christian this afternoon, you can become a Christian by being obedient to the will of God. We find in Romans chapter 6, right now, I want to say in love, you're in your sin. You don't have to stay that way, because Paul reminded the Romans, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Right now, Jesus Christ died for sin, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. You can die to sin. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. You can be baptized into the death of Christ by faith today, by being water baptized. And then Paul said in verse number 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. So you're buried with Christ in water baptism. You hear the gospel. You believe the gospel. You repent of your sins. You talk about repentance today. You repent of your sins. Your confession is not of your sin. Your confession is what you believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what you confess, Matthew 10:32-33. And then you're water baptized, and the Lord will add you to the church. And now you are walk in a newness of life. You're added to the church, as you can only find in the Bible, Romans 16:16, the church of Christ. There's someone that would like to respond to the message. Get with the person that invited you to the call, or reach out to us at Highland Heights Church of Christ, and obey the Lord's will. And we know, John said to those Christians, that we are of God. Thank you very much.